welcome to season 2 of Wrong Side of 30. My name is Brandon Parmini, and I am joined by Keisha Tabingin.
Hi, I'm back.
And Billy.
Fuck off.
Boom, shortest intro ever.
That was really
fast.
That was
fast. The intro. We're done.
That's yeah, it.
Kind of premature. Run the exit music.
All right.
Good show, guys.
There's no such thing as being premature. It's just, you know, respecting someone else's time.
You're just early.
I'm just early. I arrive on time.
It's just warm-ups.
Is this your notes?
No.
I was like, there's literally one thing on that.
There's other stuff here.
It just says, be funny.
Yeah. So Paula had her first Pilates class in a year and a half, right? Since pre-COVID.
Oh, shit.
And,
sounds very painful.
Well, she was like heading off yesterday, and I just kind of realized how like this is like the beginning of a romantic comedy. Paula's the star off to meet like Mr. Right. And I'm like the piece of shit at home that she leaves. Like, it's weird to imagine yourselves as like these ancillary characters in other people's movies when the reality is most of us are, right?
I always wonder if I'm like the bad guy in someone else's story. Like, I'm the other woman unknowingly.
But have you been with someone else?
No, but like I'm like if I'm funny and like a guy laughs too hard at what I'm saying, I'm like, am I someone's other woman? Like, am I threatening to somebody?
Like, did you start a fight? Are people still bringing you up?
Like, yeah, like girl. Like how many people in this world bring me up as like a point of like contention?
Narcissistic.
Let's talk about
how other people think about me and like want me.
How many couples fights I've caused.
Well, it's just weird to be like walking around and like you just kind of picture the start of different movies. You're like, oh, this is a Law and Order episode waiting to happen. And you're like looking for someone to get like popped or
and
something.
It's always me. I'm always the one who's probably going to get arrested at any given time. I was at an Austin FC game last week and the people in front of me like walked in and they go, oh, good, you're here, because I'm sharing season tickets with some friends. And so I've only gone to like a quarter of the games or something like that. And she was like, I told my friend about you and how much you're like a fucking asshole to our own team.
No.
I'm so glad you're here. What, like a drunken disorderly? She's like, no, it's really offensive when you're around my 8-year-old kid, but like,
jeez.
Yeah. Oh,
but
shit.
Like, he's not here, so like, have at it.
The honesty, you have to appreciate it at least.
So the season's over, right?
Of Major League Soccer? Yeah,
yeah,
season finished, yeah.
Okay, so
we're in the playoffs, and by we, I mean... Humanity, not Austin FC.
So they didn't make the playoffs.
They did not make the playoffs.
Dead
what
last.
Was their final record?
Who knows? They finished second to last in the West. They shit a brick at this party that I organized, which was annoying. Who cares?
What do you mean they shit a brick?
They just like don't try on away games. So we do watch parties for the away games, and they're always like these huge like disappointments where everyone has to fake that they're having a good time because the team is just such garbage on the road. And it's just annoying. It's like, this is just put on a show, man. Like, if you have to bribe a ref, then bribe a ref.
Just like get yellow cards for shits. Like,
yeah, give us something. This
show
is
some passion. Oh, God.
Oh, that's it. Like, equipment's dead.
No,
see you guys
one,
in season 3.
No one gives a fuck about MLS. Shit, it should all be rigged just to be more entertaining. And like there should
spoken
be parts
like a
where
true
like
wrestling fan.
Yeah, where someone grabs the mic in the middle of a match.
And then like David Beckham
like,
shows
that's
up.
That's a bullshit call.
Yeah, someone gets a yellow card and like someone walks in with a chair and hits the ref.
Yeah. Do you think this is how professional wrestling started being fake?
It was like real wrestling and then it got really boring.
And they were like, you know, it would be awesome if you did. And it's like, what do you call it? It snowballs.
It just escalated.
It just escalates.
Yeah, it started as Major League Soccer and turned into professional wrestling.
Yeah.
It's like a 6 shades of Kevin Bacon deal.
So
6 degrees, not shades.
6 degrees.
Yeah. 6 shades.
Yeah, 50 Kevin shades Bacon. Of Kevin Bacon.
So I'm in the middle. I don't know how many of you guys out there are in the middle of a job search. I am in that hunt.
I'm in a found search.
I'm in a very much like, I hope they don't realize that I'm not very good at my job search.
So like, I would require way too much capital to be able to make this work quickly enough.
Yeah.
So we went on hiatus because I had to figure out something else. So I realized like, I just have to bite the bullet and get like a normal person job and stop contracting, stop doing this shit. But it's like really hard.
Well,
like, I am applying, like, a lot to a lot of places, Even like stuff that's like very similar.
So are you telling me I shouldn't cash that check that you wrote me like a year and a half ago?
That's why you should have cashed it a year and a half ago like I did.
Yeah.
So are they calling you back or do you get interviews?
No. I've gotten, I think two interviews. The last one went super well and then like ghosted. Like I have not heard back.
How long ago was it?
This was like a month ago.
What made you think it went super well?
Did they say it
went well? Well, I don't know. Like, at the end of it, he was talking about onboarding me.
No, bitch. He's leading you on.
He's leading. And like, I pitched ideas and strategies.
No, you did too much. You came on too hard. Too strong.
I was way too honest with who I am.
Yeah. You gotta like.
I laid it on thick. Because I was like, you know, they should know what they're getting. And apparently they were like,
we don't want it.
So he told you about onboarding so that you knew what you'd be missing.
Yes, man. Well, it was like an interview with him and like four or five people who work there. So I guess like he might have liked me, but everyone else hated me, which is cool.
It was a vote.
All I'm saying is just like, just like reply to an email.
They won't though. Like that's the thing. That's the shitty part. There were so many interviews that I went on before the last two jobs that I had that it was like, we are so ready to hire you. Keep an eye out. We're going to send you the stuff and the contract. And then it was like 2 months of nothing. And then and then you follow up and they're like, we don't have anything about you on record.
Jesus. And you apply. And like the auto response is like, if you don't hear from us in 6 weeks, assume it's not going to happen. And
let
it's
it
like,
go.
And you hear how we have this big labor crisis and there's all these jobs and no one for the jobs. And I wonder like how much of it is the methodology and how we parse people.
Mm-hmm.
The big logjam here. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just terrible.
I mean, I saw that Bill Miller's is hiring and it's like $13 an hour. With
maybe.
Great benefits.
What if you went Austin PD? What do you think?
Could you
shoot someone wrongfully?
No. I do not think I'm very popular.
Well, then Austin PD is
which is crazy because I do support the police. I support their ability to hire what's budgeted. And I also support that they get fired like the rest of us when they do a shitty job. Like Keisha, if your employer wants to fire you, you can't be like, yeah, but did the grand jury indict me?
Yeah.
Like, come on. That can't be the standard.
It's like, prove it.
So like, I like cops and I'll talk to a cop and I'll be like, I like you, but like, you really think you can't be fired for being bad at your job?
Maybe you just go around with a body cam until they hire you. You're like, I'm willing to wear this. No issue.
It's totally normal.
This was something in the interview I probably could have handled better.
Oh, my God.
They were like, all right, well, can you predict like growth in a social media account? And I was like, I mean, I can promise to make good, engaging content that's not the cookie cutter crap that everyone else is ignoring. But I don't think anyone can seriously come in and guarantee you any kind of return. I don't really think that's honest. I mean, I should have just said
yes.
Yes.
Yes. The answer to questions like
but
that.
But it's so annoying because why are you bringing in me here to lie?
It's not lying.
It is lying.
No, it's not.
They just want to make sure you know how to lie when you need to lie.
That's literally what interviewing is.
It's stupid.
And the answer to that question is always a follow-up question of like, is there a budget allocated to help this grow?
To make sure, just to explain, like I have not done much interviewing in my life, but I have hired probably around, I don't know, 60 people and easily over 100 interviews.
But it's different, though. It's different being on the other side of that.
But it's like they should know that this is helpful.
No, Brandon.
No.
So if you're doing project management stuff, like why don't you get like certified?
Yeah, Google has a certification program.
Yeah, do it.
But it's like that's all I have to be like. I had a Google certification and they'll be like, oh.
Yeah,
oh,
dude.
Oh.
Yeah, go take or some just, HubSpot shit and they'll be like, whoa.
Yeah, so that's a lot of garbage. Mark Cuban, we're still waiting for our check. This would solve a lot of our problems. The other big lesson I learned, because the show is Wrong Side of 30. So this is why I want to talk about this, because I think career stuff is a bigger part of that fire and that heat that you have in your 20s.
Oh, God.
You cannot assume.
No.
That is still going to happen.
No.
So my big lesson in this whole experience was like, you know, you can't do it all yourself. Maybe you could have at one point.
Yeah.
But like, there's just too much stress that comes with all of these different things that don't really allow you to focus on a task that is fundamentally different than what you're stressed about.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like you get distracted by one component mm-hmm. and then it interferes with your ability. Like, oh, is this funny? And it's like, I don't know. I got bills to pay. And it's like, it's
just
like
get shit out.
That's the other issue you run into.
Yeah.
And in your 30s, you just don't have that. I don't know what it is about when you're in your 20s. And like,
I think you just don't care as much. So like I started a new job about 2.5 months ago, and it is like where my old job was. I would say it's like maybe three or four. It's like a 3 or 4 level jump from what my old job was.
Ooh, congrats.
What does that mean?
So I went from like a manager to like a VP.
Are you in financial services? Okay. Yeah. VP.
Yeah. VP of everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's a VP.
You could work. You could be like a second day at the job and get a VP title.
It is for a social media role. It's like a pretty big deal because a lot of roles within social media are kind of, they level out at like director level.
Because a VP is kind of like the company acknowledging that this person is an integral part of our inner workings.
Right. And it's like they're positioning you to like continue to do better or whatever. So
and it's like one of what, like 10 VPs or 20 VPs?
I'm the only like VP of social media.
Right. But like how many VPs?
Oh, well, it depends on the department.
Yeah, right. Financial services, 10,000.
Yeah, everyone's a VP.
Do you have a Google certification? VP instantly.
But, it, you know, so it's like I was really excited and I was like coming in real strong and like, you know, like you're just like, I can do everything. And then like I started forgetting stuff and I started missing things. And there's things on calls where I'm like, oh, I should have said that and I didn't. And in my 20s, there was no hesitation. It was just like whatever came to mind, I would say it and I would just do it. And if I messed up, then it didn't really matter because at least no one can say that I didn't do anything. And now I hit a wall like 2 weeks ago where I was just like, everyone's going to figure out that
I'm not good at this.
That's called imposter syndrome.
Oh, I know. And it's like really bad, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I have to talk a certain way. I hear myself talk. I hear myself explain stuff. It's like you overwhelm people with information before they can ask you questions because you don't want them to ever think that you don't know what you're talking about.
I've got a book for you. It's called How to Appear Smart in Meetings. And it tells you what to do with your hands.
Right.
And also the things to circle on a whiteboard. You'll love it.
But it's hard. I had no idea what imposter syndrome was when I was in my 20s.
Which is weird. I feel like you've gone the opposite way. I think everybody in their 20s has imposter syndrome because it's like their first job and they're
so
like, I don't
confident.
Know how to do anything.
I was so fucking confident. Yeah.
I think it's helpful though because I think it reminds you to keep working and keep focusing. Like that judge today in that little Whittinghouse case didn't understand how zooming in on a video worked. And it's just like, bro, you're a judge here and you control what evidence is seen and the circumstances and you don't seem to understand how video works.
He's not a scientist, Brandon.
He's not a film scientist. Jesus.
It was like confusion. He's like, if you're making it bigger, how's it not in it? He's like, it was literally about enhancing. He's like, you're enhancing, you're adding information that wasn't there. And it's like, no, the defense also crops images. That's the exact same thing. We're just cropping. And he's like, but you're enhancing.
Yeah,
and you're removing.
I know words. Yeah, but the guy who called it an enhancement in the video world didn't know words. And so...
Well, it's like terminology with explaining to people what something is, you know. People sometimes get locked in on a term. Like, they do that in the Bible all the time. They get locked into these English words, and it's like, bro, you know, the Bible was not written in English.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get so focused on the exact words being used. That's why they were, like, out protesting, the Nazis protesting at that synagogue in Austin.
Yeah.
Because of fucking Book of Revelations. Calls a synagogue.
It's always
Satan.
A fucking
it's
revelation.
Always revelations. I'm telling you.
It's like edgy shit in there, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems with Genesis. Book of Daniel's got some weird shit in it.
Is Daniel in the New Testament? So I know Genesis is old, but like New Testament.
All of the prophecy stuff in Old Testament's Daniel.
New Testament is mostly like Jesus doing things for poor people. And
yeah.
And then you get to
Revelation.
Revelation.
It's like the community affairs department of Jesus.
Yeah. It's kind of like the, I don't know, like the.
Jesus is like hanging out with the prostitutes, getting shit done.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's like a dragon. And like a.
There's a war between hell and heaven.
Some
and now
pregnant thing in space.
Yeah. It's insane. It's insanity. It's kind of like Temple of Doom. It's like you had something that was good in Indiana Jones, and then you took May Temple of Doom and you went way overboard.
You took it too far.
You took it too far. At one point, they fall out of a plane in a raft, which slows them down due to air resistance, and then they land on a
snowbank
on a mountain, and then they go down like a hill very, very, very fast through trees, and then they go down into like a fucking river of death, and then they meet like these, I guess what you would just call them in old classic movie term are savages.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Which are just like...
It's classic Indiana Jones.
Yeah, indigenous people made to look like insanos. That is the Book of Revelations. It's like the other stuff wasn't hitting.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, let's hit him with some of this shit.
It's like the end of Lost.
Because it was the last
It's like
book.
They didn't know how it was going to end. And so they're like, let's just make it as confusing as possible.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the Jesus story was around for like 70 years before Revelations came. And then Revelations,
they need to rebrand.
It's just going, it's just flying off the shelves.
Can you imagine being in the writer's room of the Bible? And you just got this like, you got like
old
red
ideas.
Red string and photos
crazy
everywhere.
Ideas.
Well, you know the bullshit is like.
Like Pepe Silvia.
So what would happen is like a scribe, right, is recopying the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of work before the printing press.
Sure.
So they would make notes like or suggestions for ideas in the sides of the book. And then the next person at some point who would copy that would incorporate the notes into the text. And all of a sudden, that's canon. And like Jesus is up there being like, what?
I never said that.
Yeah. Like if you make the conscious choice to turn off your brain about the religious aspect and research the Bible and its construction from a historical and a publishing standpoint, mm-hmm. it's pretty interesting.
It's kind of like, so it's like Wikipedia, right? Where like everyone just kind of contributes to what they think it
kind
could be. Kind
of, but you don't know who contributed what. And then their contributions are hidden and people just assume it was always that way. But mm-hmm. like they found, like they trace back these manuscripts and they find where an idea originally came from. And it's just like a writer who they're like, no, we just need you to copy the book. And they fucking put their shit in there.
So they like, it's like when you're on a Word doc.
Exactly.
And you turn on like simple markup and then all this shit comes
up. All of the adjustments made, yeah. Just Google the Council of Nicaea. You'll find out a lot of stuff about how the Bible was constructed. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, it's not a religious conversation, right? Because the Bible is a historical document. It's a publishing conversation. So maybe all of that stuff in Revelations is true, but it was definitely written 70 or 80 years after Jesus walked the earth. So, which is to me interesting from a publishing standpoint, because you just kind of assume New Testament is just the story of Jesus and everything that happened to him at that moment.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that was nothing.
If you are a person who takes the Bible literally and have hate mail for us, please send it to.
Hey, so how hard do you think it was to murder somebody like 150 years ago?
Pretty easy, man.
Right?
Easy.
Big rock.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, even if you see someone like murder
a guy. You don't do anything.
And they run away.
They don't have any forensics.
Were you going to like, hold on, let me paint him real quick.
I know, they're like sketching
I got a
it.
Canvas. Yeah.
They're like.
Got to get some reds in here. Like, seriously, like, it's just all
but
eyewitness.
It's like, yeah, right? It's like this person saw it. Or they left, like, the weapon or their shoe or something.
Over under half the people convicted in 19th century England, so 1800 to 1899, wrongfully convicted. More than half. Would you say over or under that?
How could we possibly know the answer?
It's a guess, man.
Over?
Under.
You think it's you think they were still able to figure out who did shit?
I think that those on high dictate what's right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would just imagine, like,
so
with such, like, little communication, it was basically like, oh, the people are pissed off, so just find somebody and
And then is it, like,
blame it on
depending
them.
On who was killed, that's when they decide what's worth actually, like...
Yeah, I guess, like, you know, they take the murders of prostitutes much less seriously.
That's true.
Than, like, you know...
Like a baron.
Like, yeah. I don't think barons ever got murdered. Pretty much all prostitutes. Like, it's the conversation started because of the whole, like, oh, was Jack the Ripper from Austin?
Did you see, there's a podcast, actually, called Bad Women, and it's all about revisiting the history of all of his victims in England, because everyone has all these stories that they're all like prostitutes and stuff, and he only killed prostitutes and no one cared about prostitutes. But it's like from the perspective of the women he killed.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to die. I'm please, sorry. This was the only way I could make money. I mean, pretty soon, you know, I got to keep my options open. Vader's got to eat.
Just take a look at this photo real fast for me. Look at the color of his face versus his hand.
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is Donald Trump. This?
Oh, God.
Famously wore makeup.
That's like his hand is like a dark blue and his face is orange.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be president and you need to wear makeup, at least hire somebody good.
I think sometimes he has people do it. You can tell when he did it and it was pretty bad. Like, the neckline would be pretty egregious, or
he doesn't blend.
Yeah, he does. He's not a big on blending. He just like lathers it up.
Loompa, loompa,
So I just got back from Disney trip vacation. It was fun.
Love it.
Wait, you don't have a job and you're just going on vacations willy nilly?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Paula works real hard.
Had a way to go,
really,
Paula.
She looked like she needed a break.
Yeah. Although when we got back, she's like, all right, I just need a break from you.
Yeah. I wanted to get you out of your natural element, but then I realized after vacation that that didn't solve any of our problems.
Yeah.
Maggie keeps telling me.
She needed me gone from the house for a period of time mm-hmm. after our vacation.
Who did you go with?
Paula and my mother.
Which is the three of you?
Mm-hmm. She didn't want to bring her boyfriend, which, you know.
Paula didn't want to bring her boyfriend? No. I could see that getting confusing.
But it was a super fun trip. I'm disappointed more things didn't go wrong because I don't have as much fun stuff to talk about. But like, I will say, like, if you aren't sure if the parks are worth it, I think they've definitely done a lot to them in the last 2 years to make it worth it. We even had a bitchin' time at Epcot.
Yeah. Did you get drunk?
I love Epcot.
Yeah. I had an Italian margarita. Dude, I don't even know what that is.
Those
but
are
like
delicious.
You get like a little hors d'oeuvre from like all the little like wine and what is it called?
Oh, it's the Food and Wine Festival?
Food and Wine Festival,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck. I used to work that.
The thing I love that Epcot is doing is like they're adding rides, but they're basing where the ride is. They're not putting it, because there's two sections of Epcot, right? There's the section that's like
Future World,
sort of. Whatever. Who knows? Like Future World from in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And around
the
world.
Hall of Presidents. Yeah.
So one thing they're doing now, which I think is insanely awesome, is they're putting attractions in the place where the story takes place. So for Frozen, we had to go to Norway.
Yeah.
For Ratatouille, we had to go to Paris. And like, you know, I'm reminded of this thing I heard about how non-college educated people think we need to guide American or guard American culture from the world. And it's like, there's a lot of things in American culture that are actually world-based.
Yeah.
Like, basically, every Disney movie except for Pocahontas made before 2000.
Yeah, was not here.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not true.
They didn't have accents.
Yeah, like, a lot of them are German. Like, Pinocchio's Italian. Emperor's New Groove is Dutch.
Oliver and Company,
British.
America.
Oliver and Company
is set in New York City.
But is it
Bear?
A British story? Is it from a British author?
Well, that doesn't matter.
It does.
That's how you were talking about setting.
No, the setting doesn't maintain a culture. The thing is to know, where does this story take place?
Right.
Like, in New York City.
No, sorry. Where does the story come from? What kind of people created this story that you love?
Well, yeah.
If more people knew that, like, yeah, it's like Germans and Italians and the English. And
of course,
Norwegians.
All fairy tales come like pre-founding of America. Period. They were all written before, like 1800.
But that is not apparent to people.
No, that's true.
It's not. Like, this puts it in your face that if you want to go to an adventure, you need to go to where that thing like originated.
No, they're all in America.
I disagree. Oliver and Company is just as good because
in the USA.
It has probably Billy
made.
Joel and is set in New York City.
Hold on.
And is that the one with a cat? Is it a cat?
Oliver is the cat.
Doesn't he have a little hat? Does he wear a hat?
I think in one scene he may have a hat. And Dodger is played proudly by Billy Joel.
Dodger. Oh, I remember
it's
that
based on a Charles Dickens novel.
Yeah, it's Oliver. Duh. No fucking shit. I wasn't making that argument. You said it was where it was set. I told you it was set in New York City.
Sorry.
Is that Oliver Twist?
The point is, hey, look, all of these different people in the world, look what they've brought you already that you like, there's a lot to take from other cultures.
And honestly, if you're making that argument, I think Pocahontas was written in England by John Rolfe or whoever came over here and went back.
Even if you say the English stuff counts as American, there's still a really, lot that comes out of France, Germany.
Oddly, Hercules written in America.
Emperor's New Groove is one of your favorite.
No, mm-hmm. I haven't even seen it.
Oh, Lilo and Stitch is Hawaiian.
Lilo and Stitch, yeah. I guess, would you say is a Polynesian in origin?
Maybe.
Along with Moana?
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. I went to the World War II Museum in New Orleans.
Amazing, right?
Oh, I've never
I'm
been
pretty there. Sure Polynesia is America after that museum.
I accidentally went on an educational ride at Epcot.
Oh, no.
But it was pretty cool.
Oh, is that the future garden?
Yeah, you see like all their sustainability stuff.
The corn stuff. There's a lot of wasps in that video.
Was it the living earth or something like
that? Yeah, and they're like, you know, they show you how sustainable everything is. And then you're just kind of like, but then like, why do you have so many, like you walk in a future land and it's like all of these gas powered cars and you're like, what? This seems so backwards. But I guess it's kind of like they can't turn their back on like their most profitable IP.
Maybe it's hydrogen gas.
It's not, because then it would be water coming out. And
do they still have that thing called, I think the ride, or maybe it's more of an attraction than a ride, because there aren't really rides in Epcot. It's called Flight.
Yeah, it's it's great.
Flight.
Soarin'.
It's amazing.
You know, okay, my favorite is when you go through the orange. And then they spray, and it smells like orange.
Yeah.
For those who have not been, you're basically in an IMAX movie theater.
On a swing.
and they just have fans blowing at you like you're Steve Vai playing a guitar solo. No, so the last time I went to Disney World, I went with my entire family, like my side of the family. And so there were like 14 of us or something.
Oh my God.
My parents were like, we got this amazing deal because we've spent so much money with Hilton over the years that we were able to get this, you know, room with like 4 bedrooms. Or
oh,
whatever.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. So it was the 4 siblings, some of the kids, and then like my parents. This was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. But no one thought to make dinner reservations.
Oh,
and we're like, oh, we're going to eat in Epcot. And it's like, where are we going to get reservations for 14 in Epcot?
Yeah.
And so the only place we could find a reservation was at we've got to be in France or something like that.
Yeah.
In 15 minutes.
and you can't cut across because there's a big lake.
There's a fucking lake.
You got to go.
And so my mom, you know, is absolutely panicked that we're not going to make it because we're on this ride. Or I think before it was the Frozen ride, I think it was called Maelstrom or something like that.
Yeah.
And there are all those like tree troll things. But it's basically the other side of the lake from France.
Yeah.
And so my mom starts power walking like a 1980s mall power walker, which used to be her superpower. And we're like, Mom, even if you just walk at a normal speed, we're going to be 5 minutes late. She was like, I put a credit card down. We're like, okay, well, we're only going to be 5 minutes late. They're not going to charge your credit card $600, credit card $600.
They're like, we estimated what 14 people would order and we have charged you.
And so she is like walking. And so my dad's like, oh, fuck it. I don't give a shit. He just starts walking at his own pace. And like half the pack goes with my mom. Half the pack kind of lags back with my dad. I'm in the mom group. And at some point, like after a half mile of power walking, it just becomes me, my brother's wife, my sister-in-law, Sean, and my mom. And I'm just like weaving through following her because I got my fast walking from her. And at some point, like, she just bowls over 85-year-old man on a cane. He falls down.
Oh, my God.
She doesn't notice that he falls down. And then, like, his family's right there to start helping him up. So she just keeps walking. And my sister-in-law, she just goes, oh, my God, Susan, and just turns around and walks backwards the other direction.
Oh, jeez.
And so my mom gets there. I show up like 2 minutes later because I was like, I don't know if I want to be associated with her right now. and she is pouring sweat. Like, you know, it's Florida in the summertime.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like 90 degrees and 90% humidity. She's, you know, 65 at the time. Just wet with sweat. And I come walking in. I'm like, you know, you knocked over an old man, right? She goes, what? So I was like, yeah, on that bridge, you know, by Canada. You fucking just knocked that fucker over.
She knows what she did.
She's like, I didn't notice.
She's a fog. Like, yeah. She only has one mission.
She was like, but I made it on time. And, like, we're still waiting to be seated, even though she was, like, right on time. They didn't have a table.
Meanwhile,
right?
The ambulance goes by to pick up the old man.
The whole family walks in just completely calm and rested. And they're like, oh, we're still waiting for our table.
Oh, I thought you meant the old man and his family comes in.
No, he died that day.
Okay.
There was a helicopter that landed. Medevac.
Yeah, that's a tough thing about Epcot, man. They don't have any ways you can, like, cut through the park, like at Magic Kingdom. You got to go all the way around. So we were, like, going from, like, Paris to Norway, back to Paris, to Italy, to Spain.
Wait, is it just Paris now? It's not France anymore? You keep naming...
Oh, France, sorry.
Yeah.
So, like, well, the thing is now with the app, you're able to get very accurate and close to real-time projections of how long each ride's going to be, which means you can be super efficient with your day if you're willing to, you know, just walk to the attraction that doesn't have a line.
Yeah.
So
just get it done.
Yeah. Instead of, like, go from land to land and, like, wait.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could just have bad luck and you get in a ride that is going to be only busy for maybe an hour for whatever reason. Maybe some of the cars break down and it bunches up. So you never know. So... the whole trip is really a theme of, like, with the app now, if you're, like, a logistics person, a part of the fun is making the itinerary as you're doing it.
So my old company, I'm not going to give company names, but one of my old companies was part of the data mesh that held all of this stuff together.
Oh,
and so,
cool.
Like, their entire thing was they used... They essentially are rerouting traffic to go to unpopulated areas of the park by incentivizing them with, like, coupons and stuff. It's like, hey, take a coupon here because no one is fucking there right now and we need to get people out of these thoroughfares.
Oh,
yeah, like, I think in 3 days, the Disney app checked my location, like, 70 times.
I'm surprised it didn't drain your battery to nothing.
I mean, like, I wanted it to because I'm like, this is...
Tell me what to do.
Yeah, and, like, you know, that's off now, but, like, it's helpful that it has accurate information because no one likes waiting in lines.
And it's funny how much less tunnel vision you have as an adult than as a kid who's trying to go to Disney, and you're like, oh, no, I'm only going to Space Mountain. Fuck everything else. It's like, well, Space Mountain has a three-hour line right now. You could do, like, 15 other rides right now.
We did Epcot Sunday because there's this great website, again, using data. They tell you the least busy... days to go in each park. So no one says, oh my gosh, it's a beautiful Sunday. There's no work. Let's go to Epcot.
Yeah.
So we went to Epcot on Sunday. And so the next day, Monday, we went to the movie studio.
Yep.
They've made so many great improvements. They've taken out the super cringy old Hollywood ride. And now it's a Mickey and Minnie mine. Ride with Goofy, who, and it's like, it's great.
So Goofy, dog or cow?
Dog.
Dog, right?
Cow.
No.
Goofy's a cow?
So Max is a calf?
Ooh, that's fucked. I don't know.
My part of my sexual awakening as a child is a cow?
They have four stomachs, so that's impressive.
Okay, you're just saying that, right? Like, you weren't... actually sexually attracted to...
I had a crush on him.
I know you did, but, like, a simple, innocent crush, right?
I don't know anymore. It's all blurring together.
Was Max in your spank bank?
Who was in the band that he was going to see?
Powerline?
Yeah, Powerline concert.
Such a great movie.
It's a Leaning Tower of Jesus. Fucking Pauly Shore's
best movie, man.
Well, it's not much competition, unless you're into Encino Man. The Hollywood thing's fucking awesome. The Tower of Terror is great. The Aerosmith ride is, like, the most exciting ride in the whole thing.
Well, the Aerosmith thing, you're just kind of like, why is Aerosmith still here? But other than that, it's pretty cool.
Way. You're doing, like, Sweet Emotion, just blasting you in the ears while you're doing Corkscrews.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
They have that whole, like, Pixar lane and the Toy Story
ride. They
have that
Toy Story land, which was pretty cool, but, like, I think the rides were a little kiddish. Yeah. Oh, no, we did Slinky Dog. Slinky Dog
was
fun.
A new one. Did you do the Buzz Lightyear, like, shooting one?
That's in Magic Kingdom. That's in Future World or whatever it's called.
Okay, is the Muppets stuff still in Hollywood Studios?
I think so, but we skipped the stuff that was just 4D or 3D.
Oh, the one you said, like the theater?
Yeah.
I love that one.
That was super cute. That
and
was a good one.
The old men, like, yeah. I identify so much. I'm spirit animals with both of the old men.
That's one. That's Hollywood at the rock and roller coaster.
How do you remove the watermark of Disney photo pass?
Pay them $200. So Jesus. I just have the watermark ones.
Yikes.
Oh,
Splash Mountain. Oh, I forget Splash how Mountain. Fun. Did also they very did racist. They make that racially appropriate yet, or is it
no,
still
I
the
think
same?
It's still pretty racist.
Like they have the tar baby and everything.
No, there's no tar baby. The thing with Splash Mountain and
that's what happened in that movie.
Even the Country Bears, which I love, it's like the best part of going to the country, like rural areas, and you leave right before someone drops the N-word. Like, it's all the best part of all your rural family members without all of the
offensive
baggage.
Yeah.
Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror. Yeah,
so yeah, the tough thing with the Tower of Terror is, like, you know, it's the whole Twilight Zone intro, and you're like, no one knows what the Twilight Zone is anymore.
Yeah, they brought it back, didn't
they?
They
should just change it to a Black Mirror.
So. Well, the thing is, in L.A., they changed it to
Guardians
of the Galaxy, but they can't do that because Disney can't use Marvel at a park east of the Mississippi.
It should just be
it
like...
It sounds so fake. I know it's true, but it sounds so
just
fake.
Just make it look like it and just call it, like, Protectors of Space.
Yeah, I think like, that could work. No one's going to...
Like,
they
get
can't
it.
Do that now because Chris Pratt's canceled.
Oh, that's right.
What did Chris Pratt do?
He got religious.
Oh, he's always been religious.
No, he basically like he was like, it's great to have a healthy son.
Yeah, with his new wife.
With my new wife as opposed to my old wife and my mentally handicapped son.
Yeah, I don't think he's canceled.
No, he's very canceled.
He's super canceled.
He's going to be in the next Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, but everybody hates him. Star-Lord sucks.
Canceled
everyone's
means
Team
like,
Thor.
Your career's like over. Not like, hey, I said something shitty and people held me accountable to it and I had some consequences.
I don't know, man. He's basically tweeting with the Chip and JoJo 3000.
Yeah, pretty be it.
I don't know.
I'm finally more woke than you on one thing,
wow.
Chris Pratt.
Wow.
I've turned on white people. Goodbye, my friends.
Everyone gets one.
And all the Star Wars stuff is just phenomenal. Like, that was definitely Paula's favorite part is the Rise of the Resistance ride. And oh, my God. It made me want to move to Disney and become, like, a Disney actor. Because, like, they get to be... There's, like, actors that get to be officers of the First Order, which is, you know,
the
space Nazis.
So you want to be a fascist?
Yeah! Because you get to call Disney guests scum.
Oh, yeah.
And they eat it up. You... miserable little roach of a man. And he's
like yay!
So you think like every like 6 weeks or something, whoever's playing like Cinderella or someone and they're just so fucking fed up, like Aladdin is so fed up with Magic Kingdom and smiling all the time that they get like a one-week stint just to go and rip everyone. They're like, get all of your anger out. This is your week.
This is it.
Yeah. Please, no four-letter words.
How great would it be to quit dramatically if you were Tinkerbell? Like, when she's, like, at the top of the castle and, like, what do you call it? Zip lines?
Like, yeah, and then lights the...
And
whatever.
It does the Main Street
electrical
parade.
Yeah, if she just, like, zip line down with, like, her middle finger up in the air.
I do love... You brought it up earlier, and now I forgot how much I enjoyed the Buzz Lightyear ride.
Competitive.
Where you're just fucking shooting Zerg everywhere.
Sucking.
You're like...
And it's like, I'm always randomly in a car with like three or four kids and they're like having the time of their life. And I'm like looking at scores and shit, trying to beat them.
Oh, I killed everybody in my
and
group.
Magic Kingdom, right?
Yeah.
I was like on the 50 cal just screaming, get some.
They took out the Lilo and Stitch ride.
Oh, where he turns into the thing? Was it like Experiment 66 or something?
Yeah.
What did they replace it with?
Fucking nothing. Futureland is fucking bullshit now. It's just like a monument to the 80s. And you're like,
we were wrong.
Yeah. Hey, well, it's frustrating because I'm
John
like.
John Hughes, the ride.
We did Carousel of Progress again, and I have it memorized at this point. And you're like, Walt Disney is saying we need to embrace the future and stop being so fucking nostalgic. And as a monument to this dead motherfucker, what you've done is stagnated the part of the park that's literally called
Future
or Tomorrowland, whatever it is. Yeah. I think it might be Tomorrowland.
Yeah. It's Tomorrowland.
Yeah, like.
But they still have that race thing, right? The racetrack.
Yeah, and it's annoying.
Oh, I thought you meant like race, like the Nazis.
Yeah, and it's like gas guzzling lawnmowers,
like,
and you're like, And you're like, nothing about this is futuristic.
Did you watch the series on Disney Plus, The Imagineering?
Oh, of course.
It's so amazing. Have you heard of this, Keisha?
Mm-hmm. No.
So there's this docuseries. It was one of the first things to come out on Disney Plus when they had nothing except for Disney movies and The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And maybe like the first like six Star Wars movies. Yeah. And then this insane documentary that's all about the making of Disney World.
Mm.
It is probably one of my favorite docuseries. Yeah. It's kind of fucked up because the whole time you're like, okay, I get that like there is a Disney agenda in this to make me like this, but I fucking love it.
Yeah, it was great. It's the only time I've ever heard somebody say something nice about Michael Eisner.
It's I mean, seriously though, the amount of like engineering that went into making a swamp into a theme park.
Yeah.
And like when you see the whole systematic underpinning of like the tunnels
That's
and everything.
Crazy.
There's an absurd amount of people there at all times. It's like 500,000 people or something stupid.
You're on the roof of the building they build.
Yeah.
There's like an entire like ecosystem below you
it's
on
like
the first
floor.
It's
like the Morlocks and the Eloys and the time machine. Like Jules Verne has a boner in his grave right now.
Yeah. It's just, it's pretty tremendous and like all of the resources they put in and how they can continue to update it. And it was just a really good time.
What about like the masking? What was the stuff on that? What are the rules?
Disney was great. They'll fucking murder you if you don't have a mask on indoors. And that includes like outdoors, but with like, you know, in the ride with low hanging ceilings.
It's actually the first order that kills you.
We were never worried about COVID at Disney. Universal is a
free for all.
That is a free for all. Those people do not believe in masks. We were like the only ones wearing a mask. We're waiting for the new Hagrid ride, which was fantastic. But, you know, like lines are themed. So we were in like a cave with a pretty short ceiling. It was pretty cramped. Yeah. And it's like we were like the only ones wearing masks. And I'm just kind of like, guys, you don't know where I've been. It's not about like disease, I suppose. It's just literally like it feels like going to an orgy and making sure that no one has been tested for STDs. No one's wearing condoms. We're going to be as gross as we can. And it's just nasty.
Everybody who's local and like a gross Floridian person goes to Universal Studios and everyone from out of the state goes to Disney. They're like, we're not paying in-state price. We can't afford Disney. We got to buy more guns and bullets and shit. And I got in a lot of trouble. I went to another Saints game.
Oh
so I went
God.
To New Orleans and the Saints were playing the Buccaneers. And there were all these Bucks fans around me. And I was like, fuck Florida. Fuck Floridians.
Why do you sound like Mickey Mouse?
I was so drunk.
That.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to stand off mic. Fuck Florida! Fucking Floridian! Florida sucks! Like, I was so drunk.
Can everyone do a Mickey Mouse voice?
No.
Oh! This is what he talks like, right? Hey, ho!
Vader just jumped up like, is everything okay?
It's terrifying. Stranger danger.
Guest star Vader.
He doesn't like that octave, I guess.
Good job. That sounded so good, though.
Something's wrong. He's never made that sound before, even after the Paula pegging.
Oh, Paula ain't pegged me.
Okay, so
motherfuckers wanted me to do a dunk tank last week.
Oh, shit. Did you ever find that wetsuit you were asking for?
No. And I kept being like, guys, it's going to be too cold.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we're going to do it. I'm like, all right. And then, like, the day of, I'm like, it's too cold. They're like, it's going to warm up. And I'm like, the tank is not, it's in the shade. And the water is coming from a fucking hose. You know how cold that is?
I don't think I have the context of what you're talking
about. And then the dunk tank came in, and it was, like, all, like, crooked fencing in the front. It looked super dangerous as fuck. And I was like, maybe I'll be back. And I went home and fell asleep. And I was like, fuck that noise. I'm sorry. We're back at the Saints game.
Solid tangent. No, that was it. I saw Tom Brady. So, Keisha's
too.
Favorite.
Yeah. And he also struggled against Mac Jones more than we thought he would.
Yeah.
He's 90. You've
turned against New England. Like, you're like a huge New England fan. And now you're like, I'm a Tom Brady gal.
We as in like me and the professor thought.
Oh, how is the professor?
Good.
I thought Keisha was engaged. She had a ring on her ring.
Are you engaged?
No, I'm not.
It's the wrong hand.
No, things are good. I'm actually going to New Hampshire next weekend for a whole week to spend Thanksgiving with this family.
You have done nothing except for travel for the last couple of weeks.
I know. So, and then tomorrow I'm flying out to Atlanta. Hot Atlanta. Yeah. We're going to Atlanta to buy my sister's wedding dress.
Fucking why?
Dude, okay, check this out. We're flying to Atlanta Friday night. We're staying at the Four Seasons.
First class.
Jesus Christ.
And then we're going to this, like, we're going to two bridal boutiques to find her dress.
It just seems strange that if you're going to fly someplace to buy a wedding dress, nothing against Atlanta, because it is like a thriving big city, yeah, but it just seems strange.
Scarlett O'Hara.
No. Like, I just imagined she was watching, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Hotlanta.
Is that really, it's really called Real Housewives of Hotlanta?
It's called Hotlanta. Ask Nelly.
Can't make any jokes in the show anymore. No jokes. Jokes are over.
No, we're going there. There's a bridal shop that sells all of their dresses are $799 flat.
Oh, cool.
So there's like designer dresses, there's brand new samples and stuff. So we're going to go in there. Everyone's going to just grab dresses for her. And then we're going to find a dress.
Are you going to take a shit in the middle of the road like bridesmaids?
It's like a full Disney sequence. I know. Are animals going to put dresser?
We're going to get some birds.
Yeah, that'll like drop it over her. So how are you adjusting to like dating again?
Dating one person?
Yeah.
Good.
Being in a relationship.
So I didn't realize how long ago it's been. I got an email for my next appointment, my 1-year check-in for my thyroid. And on
that
May.
Was like the
in
whole-
May. So that start, like him and I just started dating, like really seriously dating around May of this year. And I was like, fuck, that's already like, it's coming up. Like I have to schedule for that.
And then, are you going to get him a gift?
For him?
Yeah.
For Christmas?
No, for like a 1-year anniversary.
No, he's supposed to give me a gift.
When are couples supposed to get gifts for each other?
Anytime possible.
Weddings and anniversaries.
Birthdays.
Nothing before them.
Yeah, but which anniversaries?
All of them. They all have themes.
Including the 5-year.
Yeah, that's got
a
really big theme.
That's a big
I
one.
I think that's like gold.
No,
it's wood.
Is it wood?
Oh, yeah, it you're is like, wood because my 5-year anniversary is coming up.
You're like, I got some wood.
I told my wife I was going to get her. I was going to give her a trip to San Francisco.
Been married
to
5 years.
Forest.
He has no wood to
it's
offer her.
It's been 5 years?
How long have
for
you been married?
5 years is in January. So we're going to go to San Francisco, and I'm going to take her to wine country, which is made of wood in the Redwood Forest.
Well, yeah, I was trying to find like a wood gift. I found something that was wood-themed. It was like a plant.
Oh, God.
And it was kind of like a build-your-own plant.
You're going to give her an errand to do?
Yeah. Kara thought it was cool.
When?
Who?
When did you send this to my sister?
I don't know. When I was looking at it. Here, let me show you. It's pretty. I think it's cool.
It's just Kara. But yeah, that's like the fucking bougiest Topangan thing is for us to go to. Oh,
where's the wedding gonna be?
Seems so random. Like, oh, we're gonna go buy wedding dresses in Jacksonville.
The wedding is gonna be in April in that fancy ass all inclusive resort that we were in this year. You didn't check my Instagram stories.
I don't watch your Instagram.
It's ask just Maggie. Maggie knows.
It's just nothing but like bikini Keisha pics.
No,
like,
it has gotten very
swipe right.
Yeah, you're like a financial person now.
No, so I have to be all professional. But yes.
I thought it was for the professor. You were just like, okay, damper it down.
But yeah, so it's an adults only all inclusive resort.
Okay.
In Cancun.
Oh, so 5-star. Hopefully you don't have Hurricane William story then.
I know. Wait. In May?
Hurricane Billy story.
Is that hurricane season? In May?
Yeah.
Or April?
April might be early.
Okay.
Well, hurricane season is going to get bigger. Like, it's going to range.
Here we go.
No, I'm going to keep the doomsday stuff. I did mention the end of the world in that interview that I got ghosted, but I used it.
Why are you sharing prophecies on an interview?
Because, and I pointed out, like, MGM did really well in the Depression. As the world gets worse, people look more and more to entertainment for escapism.
And everybody was like...
Which we can exploit.
We just asked what your strengths were.
No. Guys, we can exploit this. What's great is he told us about, like, what did you say? You interviewed 60 people, 100 people, something like that?
Yeah.
Interviewed over 100 people, hired.
How many people did you hire that brought up the apocalypse during the interview?
I know.
Nothing. I usually have to be kind of, I have to get people out of their comfort zone to learn anything about them.
So,
and that's the whole thing, is it's like the whole point is to actually learn something about this person and have them learn something about the job so you don't waste each other's time.
Yeah, but what if nobody wants to hire you?
Yeah, that's it. I don't know. Like, I just...
Back to interviews. Once again, this is the entitled white dude talking here. Have not had to randomly apply for jobs since college. Every job I've had has
been...
They
just come to you, right?
Yeah, every job I've had has been a friend being like hey... Yeah, it's all network. It's like, hey, we've got a job opening. You should apply. And then I magically get the job.
I would say the most important jobs that I've had have been through network. The filler jobs have all been random applications.
Yeah, I don't like telling people I'm looking for a job. It's awkward.
And I get on LinkedIn now, and like every day I get 6 to 7 recruiters asking to hire me. So I don't feel like... Even if I do a shit job at my new job, I'm like, I'll be fine for the rest
I'm
of my
pretty
life.
Sure some of those jobs are scams. Because
like, I would know.
I got like instantly like forwarded to the next round. And I was like, and then they were like, all right, for this thing, you'll have to record a video of yourself. Yeah. And it'll take an hour.
Brandon's going to end up on Squid Game.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? You want me to record this video that you will possess and you will have rights to forever? This is insane. I'm not doing this.
Brandon, why don't you teach?
What could I teach anyone of value?
Digital media, whatever words you said earlier.
Oh, fuck, man. I can't.
You don't want to teach people the
you just overwhelmed
generation.
Him. I saw his soul
he's
just
like,
now.
He's
got nothing useful.
I'm not a good person. Can't be the future of this country.
And it's like annoying. I have like a family and parents, so like I can't kill myself. So it's kind of like trying to find value.
I think you need to cast a wider net. You know what I mean? Like, what is the
like? I went from film into software, and it turned out great for me.
No, but I think like project management. I don't know.
Is that like the furthest from what you actually want to do?
I don't care. You know what I want? I'm tired of the contract. I just want a steady paycheck. I'm done hustling.
That's your 30s in a nutshell, right there.
I just want an okay job with steady paycheck with some good benefits.
I just don't want the Sunday scaries anymore.
What I'm saying is like, I don't care what it is, man. I'll make cigarettes for little kids. Is there a steady paycheck? Then like puff puff little
is there
little
a 401k?
Andrew. Yeah. Breathe it all in, Cindy Lou.
I think we gotta find you a job. I think that'll help relieve some stress for you. But I think you gotta just
I'm beyond stressed. I mean like last time we recorded I was stressed. I am now post stress.
You're just whatever.
Yeah, it's like I don't even know if this is real anymore.
What part? The podcast?
No. Like the reality, the lie. I'm pretty sure this is a simulation.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
I'm in the simulation.
Brandon, would you do the metaverse thing?
Yeah, but like the Facebook's metaverse looks like it fucking sucks. So maybe it'll be cool in 20 years, but like
right now,
it's pretty fucking
just,
lame.
It's just Mark.
Yeah, like if you imagine like Disney's metaverse,
yeah,
that's gonna be pretty fucking tight. Yeah. Marvel's metaverse,
yeah,
Harry Potter, you know, even if the metaverse is augmented reality, because I think Zuckerberg's wrong. I don't think the future is these huge ass headsets. I think the future are, I don't know, you guys seen my glasses, right? Like the big thick glasses. Yeah. That are augmented reality.
Yeah, like the Ready Player One shit.
Yeah.
Well, no, but Ready Player One is like an Oculus.
Yeah.
It's you're blinded. I think the future is really in augmented reality.
Like Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, but like not having your phone and but like so it looks a little more natural, like holding a wand and the wand actually doing shit. You know, like
God, we're destined to die. Like, what value in life comes out of that? We're not. We're gonna stop producing anything except for entertainment.
People are looking to space for exploration, but there's nothing in space. It is very dead.
Spoiler
and
alert.
Very
this
big
is revelations.
What we want in space, we can actually find. I don't want to say in the metaverse.
So you're saying we were looking in the wrong direction.
Yes. We were looking up at the skies where we should
have
been looking down below.
Underground.
They came from the ocean. There
can
was
we
a...
just we're in a new season. Can we not reference that fucking shit movie?
All I'm saying is in the digital world, when it comes to like electrons, we have so much control. We have total control. And it can actually create some pretty amazing experiences when the technology gets to that point. And I don't think we're there. So I think that's going to be Zuckerberg's problem. And that's the other problem is like I've applied to like fucking Tesla and fucking Meta.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they just go to social and are like, well, what has he said about Mark Zuckerberg? What has he said about Elon? Oh, he's not sucking Elon's dick. And that's a whole problem. If you speak your mind on social, you know, who would want to hire you?
Right.
Because you're a liability.
That's why, or you probably just make everything delete. Private.
There is like a delete Twitter. I've done it. I had my old Twitter. It was all just like really angry Texas Ranger fan comments when they lost the World Series. And I was like, okay, got to delete everything now. Start over. I've never existed. Moniker, Billy Magic.
I just think we're in trouble if no one is willing to speak out. And I don't want to get into politics on this podcast. But like, I just think now is a tough time for people to not feel like they can speak truth.
Yeah, not after Trump, because he spoke truth, and look what happened to him.
I mean, he's coming back, man. I think it's very
likely. He has his own social network now.
I think he's going to be president.
Unfortunately, his truth is racism.
If he doesn't die beforehand of natural causes.
Well, based on that photo I showed you earlier, his hand is dark blue. He's basically...
Dude, it doesn't matter. Mitch McConnell has been full fucking last book Dumbledore for the last 2 years. Like, you know, that dead black hand he walks around with?
Does he have the ring?
Still fucking going.
All right, you boys and girls. It's time for Five Things with Keisha. With your host, Keisha.
Five Things with my girl.
Oh, I haven't heard that in a while. Okay. So we made this on the fly because we were not prepared as per usual.
Well, it's season two.
It's season two.
You know, starting something new.
Right, right.
Brandon can't seem to start anything new.
Well, since Billy and I both started new jobs, so we decided the top five is five best things about starting a new job.
Guys, I keep seeing like my beer cans littered around your house. That's never a good sign.
Number five, it actually, in a good way, recharges my imposter syndrome. We talked about this earlier. I think it's good because it's one of the things in life that keeps me humble.
Oh, suddenly Keisha's humble. Wow. Wow.
It's just a friendly reminder that I am not perfect.
It's a friendly reminder that you don't know anything and can't do anything right. Yeah, that is humbling. Huh? She's a vice president.
Did you ever imagine yourself getting drunk and admitting that to a subordinate? I don't know what I'm doing.
No, I can't. I just.
Could you ever have a relationship that Tom has with Greg on Secession?
No. No.
I love Tom. I actually think I am a Tom with I'm Tom with sprinkles of Greg.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I hate Greg.
Greg's annoying.
Why?
Because the very first episode, he's like throwing up through the goofy mask.
That's true. I forgot that's the opening episode.
So can you imagine like Keisha now, like you walk into a classroom with like your first grade version of yourself and you're like, I'm a vice president now. And young Keisha's like, oh, wow. Like, how did you get there? And you're like, I have no fucking idea and I don't deserve it.
Lower your voice.
Is it like a fake it till you make it thing? You just kind of wait?
Sometimes, like, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm very, very grateful that I have this job. But at the same time, there are many times a day where I'm like, they fucking know. They fucking know.
There's this amazing article. I'll send it to you. But it's like basically like, yes. You, along with everyone else, has no idea what.
No,
doing.
You Google shit. It's
well, you know what we are? We're
you're vice president of social media. Social media.
Social strategy.
If it makes you feel better, all you are is an ape.
Pretty much.
A hairless ape trying to figure out how to communicate with other hairless apes. That's what humans are.
So that leads me into my number four. So part of being new that I love is that I get to play like, hey, I'm the new person. So I can also play dumb sometimes.
Wait, did you like, when you move to a new school, you like develop new habits?
Okay, that's
you're
on
like,
my
I'm
list.
The cool thing?
Yeah, so I try different things, right? I try different sayings. Oh, that's actually my number three.
They're all the same.
Like, wait, so do you invent new catchphrases and you act like you've been saying
it
for years?
Yeah, and then I test it out, right? Like, if there's no reaction, then that's the only time I do it. There was one meeting where out of nowhere, like, I started having, like, a more Southern accent than I actually do.
What?
So much so that someone was like, Keisha, you're not from Massachusetts. And I'll be like, what? Me?
Me? This old Southern man?
Oh, no. I'm from Louisiana. I grew up on the bayou.
And it's like one of those things. Like, I have a problem with, like, if I start with, like, a small lie and it's not hurting anybody, I will continue that lie. And in these meetings, I started with an accent. No one said anything. In fact, I got positive reinforcement for having this accent.
This is a sitcom.
And so, like, I'm just going to keep going.
Do the accent more.
I know, right? Okay, it's like... I don't know. I keep thinking about Andy from The Office
when
he's talking
about Facebook,
like,
y'all.
Like molasses.
Molasses.
And so I just keep doing
my
that.
Friend,
But it forces them to ask about me.
Darn tootin'.
Right?
I think it lowers their expectations.
Right. And then I drop a y'all every once in a while, which throws everybody off. And I think I can try like new jokes. You know what I mean?
Like racist ones because you're suddenly Southern.
Do you do any work at this job? It kind of just seems like you're, I guess like I don't know, a scam artist would be the right thing, but like.
I put together a lot of decks.
Okay.
It's a very George Costanza, David situation.
I put a lot of decks together. I'm like writing copy for something. It's very much like in a meeting. I use so much like corporate jargon that like it's coming out in my conversations with a professor. So he's like, well, what do you want to do for like vacations next year? And I was like, well, like Q2, Q3, I was like really busy. We've got some.
Paul's like that too, yeah.
And he's like, you mean the spring and the summer? Yeah.
We should really think about our synergies.
I know.
That's really funny.
So that's fun.
Could you like hire me and I'd work for you and you could like fucking boss me around and yell at me and get all of your podcast aggression?
So I have like, people work for me now. I have like two employees. Yeah. And that's hard. Dude, that's fucking hard.
You should fire one of them and hire Brandon.
No.
It's so fucking hard.
Fucking managing people is the fucking worst.
Because you have to like worry about feelings.
Yeah.
You have to care about where their like professional trajectory.
HR policies.
Right? And it's like you want to be cool, but not too cool where they're too comfortable, but they still respect you.
Yeah. And you have to fucking like do their salary, negotiate against them on salary and then work with them the fucking next day.
And then like do goals.
And it's like, bro, I want you to make more money. I'm not the one that's like trying to keep you from that vacation. This is my duty.
It's hard. It's so hard. Like, I just have to care about people's feelings, and that's hard for me. It's hard for me to care about...
I only care about
myself. I only care about my feelings. And then, for me, number two... Actually, fuck, my list is all
fucked up. You're going out of order. It's very confusing.
Well, number three was test new jokes and catchphrases, and we kind of leaned into that. And then number two, or number...
for the podcast?
Number one was make up a new persona, which we also already talked about.
I like it, though. I think it's good. I think that's fun.
I was very tempted to like make up a nickname for myself, and I'm like, that's too far.
People call me Kiki.
So you know what's strange, right? It's like, you know, your significant other, the people they work with see a completely different version of the person. And like to them, that's who that person is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, but I don't know that person at all. Like, how could they not associate my significant other with the things I associate with them for, you know?
And then also, like, so, you know, we've been, like, so me and the professor have been dating now for over, like, 7 months or whatever. But then I started meeting his friends who are all, like, PhD people who are hella smart.
When you say hella around them, do they all roll their eyes?
I don't, and I'm just like, how? Why? And they, like, think I'm really funny, and I'm just like, I don't understand. And then last night we were at dinner, and the professor was, we were talking about, like, SAT scores or whatever. And I was like, did you have good SAT scores? He's like, yeah. And I was like, what is it? And then he said it, and I was like, is that good? I don't know. And he's like, what did you get? I was like, I got the, thanks for putting your name down. Like, I don't know what my SAT score was.
You got a participation ribbon.
And I was like, he was like really smart and he gets in all these good schools. I'm just like, why are we together? Like, I don't understand.
So double imposter syndrome.
I know. It's imposter syndrome at home. Imposter syndrome in the office.
I was excited to talk to him because he's a smart guy. And then like afterward, he like looked at Keisha and he was just like, no, not again. And I haven't seen them since. I haven't seen them.
It makes you feel better. I've not met him. So God knows what she
thinks
I'd say.
We should hang out though. We should hang out. He's great. But that's the thing, right? Like and then my family, my entire family.
What's he think of the podcast?
He thinks it's hilarious.
Is he like season
one?
No,
he like, he's listened to it from start, like from the first episode on.
Doesn't sound like he's that smart.
Yeah. my opinion of him is a lot lower.
But so also though, guys, like my entire family, they're all doctors. Like between, it's only me and my mom who doesn't have an advanced
degree. And your mom is kind of like she's a doctor of running a medical clinic.
Like she's like street smart.
She's street smart. Yeah.
And then it's just me. Like everyone else is very intelligent and like accomplished career wise.
But you are accomplished career wise.
I mean, now I am. As a VP, I am.
You know, you get dropped on your head a few times.
So my sister's like, so if the president dies, do you get to?
No, there's 47 other vice presidents.
So I think this might help for perspective because, you know, you sound like a big fancy pants now and your VP. Where were you when you turned 30 years old?
I was unemployed. That was right when I had ended my engagement and I was moving to Texas.
So like you basically kind of like started over, refresh, and then rebuilt. Yeah. So what did you learn, you think, in your 20s when you started building your life here in your 30s?
It kind of forced me actually to like find opportunities for like by myself, because I got really spoiled when I was in like Boston, because my boss at the time just kept like bringing me with her. And I say that, but my boss now is that same person. And she was like, it doesn't make sense for you not to come over and do this. So there was like a 2 or 3 year gap where I had to like just do stuff by myself. And it was like really hard to not have this like blanket to support yourself all the time. And like, that was good though, because now I'm in this organization where it's like, she supports me, but she's like an SVP, right? So she has like SVP shit that she needs to do.
Yeah.
So she can't like cover my ass on everything. And there's a lot of times where I'm like, well, what do you think we should do? And she's like, you decide. And then you just have to live with the consequences, right? But then before, I think I would be more terrified of that. But because I had to kind of figure stuff out by myself for a few years, I'm like very comfortable with the consequences of my decisions. And then like, I'm really not afraid to like fuck up, because I'm just like, all right, well, what's the worst they can do?
I made it this far. I'll be a VP for life.
I'm like, I'm good here for a little while. Like, I could stay at this level.
Okay, before we move on to the bottom five, I do want to say we have, you know, more than a few veterans, but we also have someone who's active.
And it's Veterans Day.
And it is Veterans Day when we're recording this. So, Jeffrey, we're glad you're okay. We don't know what Jeffrey did, but those of you guys, obviously, who have a TV saw what happened in Afghanistan, and it was a fucking shit show. We don't know if he was there. All we know is that he's he was hurt. He recovered. It is someone that, you know, we do think about because he has participated in some of the stuff we've done. And
just an overall awesome dude.
He's an awesome dude, and he's still serving. Yeah. You know?
A new dad.
Oh, yeah.
And a new dad.
Yeah. That's right.
So we're glad you're doing okay. And, you know, hope come back soon.
Bottom five. Bottom five. You will die or you will eat the bottom five.
Oh,
bottom five.
Welcome
to bottom five.
Hey, Minnie.
Hey.
You want to hear the new bottom five?
Where is Pluto gone to?
Oh, Vader seems real upset.
Where are you going?
Stop.
She thinks he's people.
Okay, so bottom five of new jobs. Number one, not knowing anyone, not meeting anyone. We are in COVID world. My office has been closed since the day I started. Can't go in, can't meet anybody. Mm-hmm. So you're meeting everyone virtually. When you have questions, you have no idea who to go to for what. And then all you're doing for the first several months is explaining to people, hi, I'm new.
Who I am?
I don't know anything. Nice to meet you. I think you're the right person to ask this question. Oh, you're not? Who should I ask this question to? Okay, I hope I remember your name next time I ask a question to you and have no fucking idea what I'm doing. Which translates very nicely to number two, not knowing anything at all. So you were talking earlier about imposter syndrome. Well, you immediately leave a job because of imposter syndrome to another job where you actually are an imposter, because you start pretending to know stuff that you have no idea. Like, you can't possibly know anything. And when you're like me and you're in sales and you're trying to convince someone to buy something, they're like, why should you buy it? And you're like, let me take a look at my notes.
You're like, what? I'm losing you.
Yeah.
Did you not tell the truth in your job interview that you didn't know what you were doing?
No, people hire you because you're smart enough to learn stuff, but you need the time to actually
learn
stuff.
They hire you for your soft skills because you can learn material and the company and the brand and all that stuff.
How do I let them know I learn good? Me learn good.
Your best bet is not talking. No, but like, you don't know, you know a lot of stuff and you can get by in your day-to-day job, but people ask you very specific questions that are specific to the company or the product.
You have no fucking idea.
And why would you know that until you work for that company? And then you know, in every other job I've ever had, yeah. I've gone through training with other people. This is the first time I've gone through training by myself. So for like a month, you're just sitting there watching terrible training at home
like
videos.
The reenactments.
And you're sitting there thinking, why on earth did I leave my old job where I knew everything, knew who to talk to, knew how to do everything, and could work from home lazily. Mm-hmm. You know, all the benefits from working from home when you know what your job is, and you know how to do your job. You're like, oh yeah, I slack off for 15 minutes. Now you're like, well, if I slip off, I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking. I barely know my own name. No one knows who I am.
That's why I make up names and personas.
So just like the entire starting over process is so comfortable, so uncomfortable. And then that multiplied tenfold by COVID.
Yeah.
It's just everything is slower. And like I got a computer, for instance. My new computer got a blue screen of death error every day. For 3 months.
No.
And because of the supply chain shortage.
There's nothing.
Like the IT couldn't help me. I had to go to the manufacturer of the computer and they were like, well, we can't help you. So you need to start recording these errors. It got to the point where my computer was crashing every 45 minutes.
Ooh.
For a 3 week period, my computer crashed every 45 minutes.
That's insane.
And then I finally, they were like, we'll give you a whole new logic board. And I was like, maybe a new computer? They're like, God, no. No.
Settle down, new
guy. Ship your computer to me. So I shipped my computer to them when I went on my main vacation.
Yeah.
And then I got back and they're like, oh, we've been trying to deliver this package to you for 5 days. Now it's going back to
Dell.
What the fuck? Fucking disaster. So yeah, the whole
fucking supply chain shit. That's why I have broken breakers in my house. And every time I need to use the garbage disposal, I have to go like reset it.
Yep.
And I'm just like, oh, I hope I don't fucking die flipping this switch with this broken breaker switch. And then it starts flashing at me violently like, replace me! Please!
Keisha and I are just texting like, so when are we going to record next? And Brandon just never answers. Like, oh, you must really hate us. And Paul is just like, I don't care.
More money for me.
All right, number three. The grass is always greener effect.
Oh, God.
So you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, I'm kind of bored in my old job and I'm doing everything's going really well. Like, I'll just go, you know, maybe there's something else out there, something more exciting. Then you get to the new job and immediately all of the discomfort of completely starting over makes you realize all of the great things about your old job.
Oh, my God.
And you still talk to people from your old job and they're like, hey, how are things going at the new thing? We're really excited for you. And it's like, oh, I don't know what the fuck's going on, and I don't think I'm doing this right, and everything sucks. They fucked up my computer, like, my paycheck seems wrong. And then, like, the other thing that comes in is, like, in your old job, you're like, well, I can either move up, but if moving up's not an option, then I have to leave, and then it's like, do I leave to go sideways, or am I leaving for a promotion, or am I getting a promotion, but my pay stays the same?
Yeah.
Suddenly, you can justify all these sacrifices that you made. And then immediately the sacrifices turn to regret. Even if the new job's great, you're still just thinking about like what was better at the old job because it's so much easier to compare the uncertain to the certain. And the certain is now in the rearview mirror and you're like, can I go back? Oh, that seems like that would be a terrible decision. So all of a sudden you're just playing. You're like in this Chinese finger trap. Is that PC? Yeah. Can I say that anymore?
I think that's still okay.
I think it's Oriental.
It's like half of your half of your finger is stuck in your old job.
Definitely
and half the finger is in
Oriental.
A new job. And it's like, as soon as you tug on one, the other feels like it's getting pulled. And it's just this constant back and forth negotiation in your brain.
And as soon as you go back to your old job, you realize, I fucked up. Everything was fine before.
And all of the problems with the old job are suddenly re-magnified. So number four, lying to people.
Dude, yes.
So basically, Keisha's entire top five was nothing but her lying to people, coming up with new bits, coming up with like a
fake
identity.
Yeah.
She's like workshopping some shit for the podcast.
Pretending she's organized with her new laptop. Like the entirety of like your interview process is to lie or to like omit parts of your personality. Or like maybe it's like, oh, well, when I'm doing my resume, here are all the best versions of myself. It's like hiding your dead bodies of like all of your failures. And so it's just like, you know, I set a lot of new goals for myself. I got this new job. It's a great time to go set new goals. But they're all stuff that you're going to fail at because it was all stuff that you were never good at. And if your new job depends on you actually accomplishing these goals, you've set yourself up
for
failure. Yeah. So basically, you're letting people down. I mean, especially if you're like me and you get jobs through networking, it's like, oh, and now all of a sudden, like I lied to get this job and my buddy put me up for it and now I'm letting him down.
I know.
Dude,
so I'm
that's
burning
the worst.
This bridge.
I always imagine that whoever referred you to the job has like this ongoing like live cam view of you And they're just like, how's he doing?
Would it be inappropriate at an interview to ask them not, if this doesn't work out, to not look down on my buddy?
It's on me.
It's on me. It's not on him. Can you just not judge it? That's why I...
That's the shit that you said at this interview, and that's, no, that's why I don't like
asking. I don't like asking anyone for help. I'm not, I don't...
Because you don't want to fail, because you think you're going to fail them.
I'm going to fail them, yeah. I network, but I don't ever, like, ask for help from people.
Like, lower everyone's expectations.
Yeah.
And number five, people lying to you. So it's a little bit of a karma police effect, but, like, you know, you're asking questions to the interview job process. You're like, tell me about the job. Tell me about all of these things. And they're fucking selling it to you.
Yeah.
Like, they're just sitting there with an open position where they're not, like, the company's not making money. They're like, we got to get a body in here. I don't care. It's got to be a warm fucking body. And it's going to be the best of all of these chuds who are applying. Just get anyone in here who doesn't seem like a total fucking failure. Sell them on everything. Oh yeah, you'll make so much money, and, like, your bonus, you know, your bonus is based on your performance, but we have no one's ever missed their bonus before.
Yes. Oh my god.
Oh, and vacation's unlimited vacation, and we're, like, so open door with our vacation policy, but, like, if you actually took a vacation, we'd be like, what what's the matter with you?
Why are you letting everyone else down? Who's going to do this?
So you're constantly being sold to, and you've got happy years because you're trying to get out of your other job. You never ask the question, like, so the job I'm taking, why did the last person leave?
That's true. There's
three options. They were promoted, they quit, or they were fired.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those three options are bad.
Yeah.
So there's a 66% chance that, like, you're taking a job that either, you know, you could also get fired because they sucked at their job and they don't know what they're looking for, or they quit because the job fucking sucked.
So best case scenario, though, the guy who had the job before you
was
dead.
Horrible. Oh.
Right? Like, died in a horrible accident. And you're like, oh, sweet.
Sorry, there are four options, three of which are bad. You could die.
But there was, so I've been in situations where I asked that question and they're like, oh, actually, this is a brand new position. Like, no one's had this job before. And then I get the job, and then I ask, and they're like, oh, yeah, your job just used to be called this. So they would just change the name.
So it's just a new title.
It's a new title. And I'm like, God, no one told me.
It goes back to your new nickname. Yeah. I used to be the director of social, and I'm the vice president. New position. You're all insecure because, you know, it's a new job. Yeah. You don't know anything. You're like, oh, we all felt that way. And you're like, did you all feel that way? Or are you just saying that to make me feel better? And then all of a sudden, the paranoia starts kicking in. And you're like, hey, so how did you do this, this, and this? They're like, oh, it's easy, and it wasn't easy, or, oh, you just do this, this, and this, and then you found out that they were completely wrong, and you shouldn't have done any of those things. Everybody in business lies constantly. They lie about themselves. They lie about the job. They lie about what they've delivered. They lie about the process of doing it. Nobody knows anything.
We're all Googling shit.
Everybody is a liar all the time.
I'm literally clearing my search history every day so people don't know that.
It's like, did you ever see those, there's like the backhoe or whatever, the construction equipment where it's like the front of it's a bulldozer and the back of it is that little like shovel thing. And so it's like the front of you is just like pushing shit out of the way and the back of you is just covering up all of your tracks.
Do you want me to tell you something I think will help you both feel a lot better? Like, your same positions like 50 years ago, right?
Yeah.
When people didn't know something, best case scenario, they have an encyclopedia somewhere that they have to take out and they're like, all right, where's, you know, you? And they have to hope that that information is still somewhat relevant.
That's true.
So if you are clever, you can really kind of learn how to do anything. And that's the frustrating part of, at least for me when applying for jobs, is like, look, yeah, no, I can't do this yet.
But I'll learn it.
But you can pay me.
You're
like,
I'm real good at Google.
Yeah, I published multiple.
Bottom five that. Bottom six. They can figure out that you're full of shit and find justification to fire you for not knowing how to do something the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, they can fire you for anything here, except if you're a police officer. Well, that was fun.
That was good, considering we didn't have really a lot of plans.
Stop saying that out loud.
Considering I was just driving by to drop off some stuff.
Slytherin boy over here.
You're like, come on in. Let's record a
podcast. It was intentional. I didn't want to do a topic. I didn't want to do an outline. I didn't want to be a slave to structure.
So what are you going to call this episode?
Season 2, episode 1.
Yeah, premiere. Season premiere. That is a problem for future me, not a problem for present me. And I very much believe in screwing your future self if it helps make your present self life a little bit
easier. We should do a season premiere party. We should invite all of the donors to like a party on release day.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Do people still pay in? Like, are we still getting?
I keep suspending it because I don't want to charge them.
Yeah,
when we're not active, because we have to like, you know, schedule the shit and the
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
nice. I don't want to.
I had a lot of guilt. Like, I was taking showers and I was like, should I buy cheaper soap?
No. Like, I mean, it's. Yeah. The last thing you want to do is ever exploit or exploit people. I mean, not even make them mad or anything. Just make them feel like they're taken advantage of. So.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's good.
We're not delivering.
I have a bunch of IOUs.
Yeah, right?
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.